In the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. So what I'm going to do now is to do a summary of Abraham, yeah, based on the book of Romans. Okay. Now, I want you to turn back to chapter 15 first. Please turn to Genesis chapter 15, yeah? Okay, now, verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Right? Now, the idea of becoming righteous is based on faith, based on believing in what the Lord said. Okay. Now, we find that that is not the end of the story when you look at the interpretations given by the New Testament writer. Right? Now, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now, we first read verse 3. Yeah? Now, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Not to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debts. Right? Now, so you find that here is a direct quotation from what? From Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Yeah? Now again, you find that the same idea is mentioned in verse 9. I want you to read chapter 4, verse 9. Now, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. All right. Now, so the point Paul was making is that to be counted righteous is not based on work. It's not based on work. So, any deeds of the law or any works from men alone, yeah, cannot make the doer, yeah, to be righteous in the sight of God, yeah. Okay, now I also want you to read where is it? We read verse 22, chapter 4, 22. Now, and therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, this is mentioned by Paul, yeah, when he is talking about the unwavering faith of the what? Of Abraham, believing that God would what? Give him a son. Okay? Now, if you look at the preceding verses, yeah, like verse 19 onwards, here it talks about what? How weak his body is, the condition of his body. So when God spoke to him that through the wife, he should receive a son, yeah? Son, and he believed, right? And he is accounted as righteousness. Okay, now, from the point of chapter 15, yeah, verse 6, he believed. He believed. In God promises, right? Now, up to what? I want you to turn to Genesis chapter chapter what? Chapter 18, isn't it? Yeah, chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 10 onwards, yeah? And God said to him that he would give Sarah a son, right? And actually, that was mentioned also in chapter 17. Okay, now, it was this point? Chapter 18, okay? Sarah shall bear a son. Okay. Now, the identity of the woman is revealed, that is Sarah. Sarah shall bear a son, okay? And the Bible says, he believed. And that's why Paul says, he was accounted as righteousness. So, from here you find that when a person is made righteous, you know, through his faith, and to maintain this righteousness in God, requires him to what? To continue to keep his faith in God. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, I want you to turn to James now. Please turn to James. Please look at chapter 2. Now, chapter 22, when you read from verse 21, is talking about Abraham offering up his son, isn't it? The Isaac. Now, so, the conclusion of James is this, and the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Okay? Now, so when he was tested, this chapter 22, isn't it? Yeah? He offered up his son, which he did, and the Bible said, according to James, he was made, the righteousness of God was fulfilled, right? The same statement was mentioned, meaning he was righteous. Okay, now here, he was righteous, and here, he was righteous. Now, you can come to a conclusion. Yeah, we can come to a very simple conclusion. Now, after Abraham believed in God, in the promise of God, he had to do what the Lord instructed him to do, and he need to have faith in the word of God. And in this case here, the last bit, he offered up his son. Yeah, and this is how he maintained his righteousness throughout. Now, looking at ourselves today, we are made righteous at the point of our belief. Yeah? Believing in Jesus. And getting baptized. And baptized. And is baptized. Okay. When our sins are forgiven, obviously we are made righteous. Okay? Now, in our Christian life, what must we do? We keep the truth. Or we say we keep the commandments. Till the day we depart from this world. But this is how we maintain the righteousness that we have received through our faith. Is it clear? That's the idea. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? This one is what? Chapter 15, verse 6. He believed in God's promises, saying that he would be a father of many nations. And this one is what? He believed that, you know, when God said, your wife shall bear a son, yeah? That was when he was very advanced in age, and he believed. And this one is when, what? When
he was asked to offer up his son. Now,
you can find this in Romans chapter 4, verse 3. This one.
Romans chapter 4, verse 9.
I'm confused.
No. Verse 9 and verse 22. 9, 22. Verse 9 and 22. This one is James chapter 1. Chapter 2.
22, 22, is that? Yeah? Yes. No. 21 to 23.
Okay. Is that clear? Okay. Have you got this? Yeah? Okay. Can I rub it off? Is it okay? Sorry, my handwriting is not very. 21 to 23. You finish? Is everyone okay? Okay? Okay. Now, what I'm going to do now is about, you know, I told you about the women in the life of Abraham. Abraham, the first one is what? Eliezer mother. How do you spell Eliezer? Eliezer's mom. Yeah. But the name of this woman is not mentioned. Then, Hagar, Egyptian woman, and the lawful wife, Sarah. Okay, I want to circle this. This is the one. Okay. And then, what is that? Keturah, or the concubine.
Right. Now, we can look at this in the context of religions, yeah?
Right.
I'm going to turn to Galatians. Yes, and many wives, concubine. After Keturah, and the Bible also says what? Concubine. He married more than one. Okay?
Now, we turn to Galatians. Yeah? Please turn to Galatians.
I tell what, you don't have to copy it down. I've done some exercises already, so if you want, I can give it to you. Okay, you just listen, you don't have to copy it. Okay? If you want, if you're not interested, then it's fine, no problem. Okay, Galatians chapter 4.
Now, Galatians chapter 4, I'm going to read 26, yeah? Okay, now verse 26, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all.
For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, blah, 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 blah. Now, verse 28, we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Obviously, here it's talking about what? Sarah. Now, the one before is Hagar. Can you see? Verse 25, you say what? Hagar, yeah? Okay? Now, Jerusalem from above. When the Bible says Jerusalem from above, what does it refer? What does it refer to? What does it refer to? Church. Where is your proof? Hebrews, yeah, chapter 12, and also Revelation. Okay, now so Paul actually is telling us that you know Sarah can prefigure what? The church. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now, if you look at the life of Abraham, yeah, there are many women. Okay? And this one had no direct connection to Abraham. Right? This can, you know, be like any religion, yeah? Apart from like Hinduism or Buddhism or whatever. Okay? Now, when you look at this, you can say Judaism. Right? What else? Oh, the Islamic faith. Okay, this one is Christianity. What? Or other religions. In a way, you know, linked to Christianity. Right? You find that even by looking at this, you find that only one religion is the same that is promised by God. That is Christianity. You understand what I'm saying? Is it clear? Okay, now, when you look at this in the context of... You don't have to copy it. Okay? When you look at this in the context of Christian denominations, right? Now, I removed the first woman, Abraham. Okay? Hagar. Sarah. Right? Oh, these are the churches before. Churches before the TJC. And this is the TJC. Now, I emphasize TJC with a reason. Yeah? I'll tell you why. Now, Keturah, all other churches after the TJC churches. Okay. Now, I want you to turn to Galatians. Please turn to Galatians, yeah? Now, I want you to read chapter 3. Now, I want you to read verse 9. Now, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing what? Abraham, okay? Those who are of faith. What does it mean? Those who believe in Jesus, okay? Those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now, look at verse 14. Now, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that they might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Okay? Now, the emphasis is, to have a part in this promise, you need to have what? Sorry, it's not favor. Yes? Is the Holy Spirit must be there. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Read again. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, Holy Spirit. Okay, now, so today when you look for a church, you need to look for a church that has the Holy Spirit. Again, I said the church does not belong to me. If I die today, the church will continue to flourish. What? Now, to receive this blessing of the Abraham, what? You need to have faith and the presence of the Spirit. Now, what is the effect? When we talk about faith, what does it mean?
Right, now I want you to read chapter 3, verse 26.
Now, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. It's like a statement, yeah? Of fact. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And how does that happen? Verse 27 explain. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So, when we say we are of faith, it means that we need to follow the procedure or the prescription that the scriptures has laid down for us so that we can become the children of Abraham. That is true. Baptism. Now, we need to understand that a baptism without the Spirit cannot, without the Spirit, yeah, you find that that baptism will not be efficacious. It cannot forgive sin. So if sins are not forgiven, it means that we are not in Abraham. We are not in Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Right? That's why when you talk about faith, we follow the prescription, or we said we follow the procedure. Right? Now, that's why we are so blessed today. Why is that? Why is that Hagar is a bond woman? Those who were born by her is still under bondage. Because they were slaves. Now, in our context, you find that if a church does not have the Holy Spirit, yeah, if a church does the baptism, you find that the baptism cannot forgive sins. In that sense, well, the people who are baptized into that church remain sinners. You get what I'm saying? Today we are free. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit, not because of the people, because it's of the Holy Spirit. You get what I'm saying now? Is that clear? Right now. Some people have the idea, okay? Have the idea that we don't need to look at the church, we can go any church we want. Right? Now, again, we need to look at what the Bible says. Yeah? We turn to Isaiah. Because Isaiah talked about Abraham and Sarah also. Okay? Chapter, let me see, I don't remember. 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Now read verse 1 and verse 2. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, okay? You who seek the Lord, look to the rock, God, obviously, from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Now, verse 2. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. Right? For I call him alone, and bless him, and increase him. Okay? Now, so, quite clearly, when you seek for righteousness, when you want to seek God's righteousness, you cannot bypass this. You cannot bypass Sarah. Because Sarah was chosen by God as well. You understand what I'm saying now? Right? So quite clearly Isaiah said, not only Abraham. Yeah? Abraham is the father of faith. He can prefigure Jesus. Yeah? Now, according to Galatians, we know that Sarah is the church. The new Jerusalem from above. So when you look upon Abraham, who prefigure Jesus, when you look upon Jesus, then you must not forget to look at his wife. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now, so to bypass this means what? We'll never find Jesus. Simple as that. You need both. You cannot say, no, important, as long as I worship God, I worship Jesus, it's fine. No. You need to find Sarah. Sarah is like your mother, spiritual mother, who has given birth to you. Right? Without this, we are still in sin. We are still under bondage. Is that clear? Not when we emphasize the one true church, we are not doing it without backup from the scriptures. It's not like an empty decoration. No. Yeah, actually, it is a faithful statement that there's only one church. Sarah. Look to Sarah. Eh? I know, you read chapter 51, verse 2. Isaiah. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you. Now, according to Galatians, Sarah is what? New Jerusalem from above. We know that this is the church according to Revelation. So you look to Sarah means what? You look to the church from above. From above means the church that have the Holy Spirit. Is that clear now? This is the plan of God. I cannot change it. No one can. Right? Well, I've finished with the summary, so I helped you revise for 5 minutes. No, 10 minutes. Very simple. The first way to revise is to read through chapter 1 to chapter 25 20 times. Then you get it. Okay. Turn to chapter 1. Okay, chapter 2. I don't have anything to say. Okay, if I ask you a question about God's love, yeah, please explain God's love based on chapter 2 and chapter 1 and chapter 2. How can we see the love of God for us? Huh? How can we see the love of God for us? Now, first is what? He created everything in order, set everything in order before He created man. He created man. Last, He created man last so that man can enjoy His creation. Now, apart from that, you find that He also He instituted the Holy Sabbath, yeah? Meaning, He's like telling man that man cannot go on working for 7:24. Okay, that's God's love, yeah? And then, He planted a Garden of Eden, yeah? So that man could have a very intimate relationship with God. Is that clear? If I ask you, how can we see the love of God based on chapter 1 and chapter 2? These are the points that you need to erase, at least three. Again, I repeat. First is what? He created everything first, and before He created man, so that man can enjoy His creation. Second, He instituted the Sabbath to set a pattern of life for man, so that man can rest on the seventh day. A man cannot go on working unceasingly. Okay, now third, He created the Garden of Eden so that men can have a direct relationship with Him. Okay? Remember I told you a verse about God's mercy endures forever? Remember that? Psalms 1:3-6. Okay, we move on. Alright, now the next one. Now I may ask you a question like, why did God reject a Cain offering? Why? Okay? Why did He reject Cain's offering? Because he was not a good person. How do you know that he was not a good person? Based on 1 John chapter 3 verse 12. 1 John chapter 3 verse 12. Right, okay. Right, now we move on. Now I may ask you to describe how can we turn death being a curse to a blessing. How can we turn that? Obviously, judging from chapter 5 of Genesis, we must walk with God. Yeah, in the New Testament context, we believe in the Lord, we keep ourselves in God, and then when we die in the Lord, then what happens? It shall be a blessing. Okay? Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, what lesson can we learn from the Tower of Babel? You know, Babel was good before, isn't it? Nimrod was good. But why is it that it became bad? Because of pride. Yeah, man disobeyed God because God said man must multiply and fill the earth, and the people did not want to go away. Yeah, they want to gather together, so they build a place for themselves, and they want their names to be known throughout the world. Yeah, that's the reason. So it became a place of confusion, pride, because of pride and disobedience. Yeah. Now, so it was good before, and now it was bad because the city was filled with pride, and people disobey God. Okay. Now the next one. We turn to chapter 15. Now, I want you to remember 15, verse 6 and verse 7. Yeah, please write it down. I want you to remember chapter 15, verse 6 and verse 7. I mentioned twice already. If you don't do it, it's your business. If you fail, don't blame me. Okay. Okay, well, I also mentioned Abraham. You know, God told Abraham everything that he would do. Yeah, and the Bible says Abraham was a friend of God. How did Abraham become a friend of God? How? Because he obeyed God. Very good. He obeyed God. Yeah, Abraham became a friend of God because he obeyed God. Remember? Now, I quoted a verse from the New Testament scriptures. Remember that? John chapter 15. Yeah? John chapter 15. We turn to John chapter 15. Now, turn to that. John 15 verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Yeah? This is how he became a friend of God. Is that clear? Chapter 15, verse 14. Chapter 15, verse 14. Now, what are the benefits of becoming a friend of God? We read verse 15. Chapter 15, verse 15. No longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father are made known to you. God will make his will known to his friends. Okay? That's the idea. Well, if you're not taking it down, there's nothing I can do. But never mind. We move on. Alright. Now, if I ask you a question on Abraham's obedience, yeah, give me three examples which prove that Abraham was obedient. That's the last one. He left his homeland. Hang on. No, he changed his name because God asked him to. And he circumcised? No, not yet. What? Right? He listened to, God asked him to listen to the wife, remember? To drive out. No, you have to copy down. I'm giving you the answers. Hello. I tell you, you can't get 90, don't blame me. Okay, how do you know that Abraham was obedient to God? Give me three examples. First, he listened to God's voice to go out of the homeland. Second, he circumcised. Third, he changed his name. Fourth, he listened to the voice of the wife because God told him so. And what? Fifth, he offered up his son. I want all the verses backed up. Is that clear? Not clear. If they can't get 90, I don't blame you. Okay, now. Okay, that's it. That's about it. Now, something that I forgot to mention before we break. I went to look at chapter 21. I just saw it. Chapter 21, verse 9. Yeah. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she has borne to Abraham, scoffing. Okay, this is mentioned by Paul. Eh? Chapter 21, verse 9. Okay, I want you to turn to now Galatians and see what Paul says about this. Thank God tomorrow I will have a break away from you guys. Chapter 4. Now read verse 29, yeah? But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Now verse 30 says, cast out the born woman. Right? Now, so Paul developed the idea into what? A kind of persecution. Scoffing like despise. Right? Now, plus, very important point to bear in mind. Yeah? Now, you know that Sarah, yeah? Sarah gave birth to children of freedom. Yeah, Isaac is the representation. Okay? Now today, through our belief in the church of God, we are the promised children as Isaac was. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? So, if we despise ourselves, saying that, no. Scoffing is a kind of what? Mockery. Right? Despise. Despise the promise. Son, or despise the status that God has given to us, then what happened? We shall be cast out. You get the point now? Right? Now, very, very important point to bear in mind. The church that you are in does not belong to preacher F.F. Chong, for goodness sake. If he dies, the church will continue to flourish. If all the preachers die, the church will still grow. This is the church of God. So you cannot despise the church. You cannot say because the preachers is not good, therefore this is not the true church. No. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now I want you to look at one example given in the Old Testament scriptures. Turn to Ezekiel. Chapter 25. Now, look at a statement of mockery here made by what? The Moabites. Yeah? Now, those who say this, it's like a Moabite. Okay, I want you to read verse 8. Thus says the Lord God, because Moab and Seir says, look, the house of Jacob is like all the nation. Now, what happened? They shall be punished by God when you read verse 11, yeah? Now, What does the house of Jacob represent? I want you to turn to Psalm 78. Quick. Please turn to Psalm 78. We read verse 68. Psalm 78, verse 68. Okay, I repeat. Just now I mentioned about Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 12. Yeah, is it? Yes. And then now cross-reference to Psalm chapter 78, verse 68. Okay. Now what does it say? But chose the tribe of Judah. Who is this tribe of Judah? Mount Zion, which he loved. The Bible says, is what? Mount Zion. Now, in the context of the Bible, Mount Zion refers to the church of God, the chosen church of God, whom he loved. Okay? Now, to say that Judah, the church of God, is just like any other church, God will punish. That is a mockery. We despise the grace of God. Because only in this church we can find salvation, where the blood of Jesus Christ is made available by the presence of the Spirit. And we say what? Oh, just like any other church. Shall we punish? Is it clear? So please, you know, if you're not happy with the work, don't blame the church. Don't blame your mother. What? We need to have this clear understanding. Is that okay? Right, we pray.